Good morning! This is Chris Mao, owner of the Blue Box Cafe, located in historic downtown Elgin, Illinois. We are America's premier Doctor Who cafe, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. Come to the BBC for the coffee, stay for the community. I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for May 21st, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenflo.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Chip, this is it. This is it. We have reached the last week of school. There are 3 days of school left for me. And then Geek Pride Day happens on Saturday.
Well, then I know it's going to be a super exciting time for you.
Uh-huh.
And that is, this is also Memorial Day weekend.
That's right. I scheduled a huge event on a weekend where people leave town and don't come to my big event.
Well, you know, we've got such a large population in the Chicago area. I think we'll have a few people show up.
I really have high expectations for what we're going to see at Geek Pride Day. Join us on Saturday, May 25th at the Blue Box Cafe in Elgin.
That's right. We're going to have a great time. Chris Mao will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Chris, for doing our little bumper.
Uh-huh.
And also, since it's the end of school, your summer vacation begins. So my hope is it stops raining.
It hopefully will stop raining, and hopefully I'll have time to watch some movies.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Did you watch any movies, Chip? Because it's the end of the school year, and I haven't seen a TV in about a week and a half.
Well, I work out, Steve. And okay. Because I work out, I get to see a number of things. But I also got to see a special presentation of Booksmart that's coming out on this Friday.
Yeah.
And I got to see it on Saturday, Steve.
Okay, so you got the special chance to see it early before it comes out this week. So you're going to be able to tell us all about it without actually spoiling it for everybody. Tell us about Booksmart.
Well, we had cackling in the audience.
Okay.
So if we're all laughing out loud, that means this is a pretty good film.
Now,
and let me go ahead and rate it for us on a scale of 0 to 100, with 100 being the best, 80.
Okay.
So this is a very good film.
That is very high on the Chip scale. It is rated at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Well, there you go. I will say that this is a movie maybe written by Gen Xers for Gen Z, but this is very much a Gen Z film. And if you looked at like a John Hughes, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club.
Coming of age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. This is definitely a modern take on that.
Okay.
Maybe American Pie's modern take on this. These are high school students who are graduating, and they have worked their tail off. They are signaling, and every one of these students is a trope. They are all signaling.
Okay.
They are funny because of who they are. And they all, they come to a bow at the end where they recognize that we're all human. This is a story about making sure that when you're going through life to enjoy life, you don't have to sacrifice every moment of it. You can actually participate in life. And this is also a movie where, you know, your whole high school experience happens in a single night. So remember, there's going to be lots of laughter. There's going to be tears. There's going to be times when you're hurt. And there's going to be times when you're just, you know, joyful.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of comedy. This is an Adam McKay and Will Ferrell produced film, but there's a whole group of female writers who put this together, and Olivia Wilde is our director.
Yeah, her film debut, her directorial debut. Olivia Wilde is a very famous actress, and this is her first film that she's directing.
What I would say I enjoy most about this also is I don't know any of the actors there.
Okay.
The teacher's totally inappropriate. The students are just every trope you could possibly laugh at. And they're all hiding. Like there's a scene that comes up where one of the students opens the door to their party for graduation. And, you know, mom and dad and sister are sitting in the kitchen. They know who the real son is. But you know what? He's got his own persona that the students know.
Okay.
And so, you know, the reveal of you know, who you are versus who your parents know you are. So I'm not giving away anything other than there was lots of laughter in this. It's not for everyone, but let me just say that I absolutely ate this up, and I think very highly of it. Go see this.
So this is the kind of comedy that you should go in a group and enjoy your time together watching this movie.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Like I said, there were people cackling. I was laughing out loud,
which is not something that normally happens. You are not a person that laughs at the movies.
No, this is a very Steve thing to do.
I laugh at everything, but yes, at the movies in particular, I laugh a lot.
And it ends like in a bow. This is just a wonderful celebration of youth. And once again, a reminder to go out and engage and have a good time in life.
There you go. That sounds great. I wanted to go see this, but I was DJing the 8th grade dance, so I didn't get a chance to see out in the preview. But I will make plans to see it next weekend.
Live the dream, Steve.
There you go. You also got to see another comedy. This is The Hustle. This is the Buddy Grifter movie with Rebel Wilson and Anne Hathaway, where they're scamming people.
They are, and they're the best at it. And Steve, if I had not seen Booksmart, this would have been the date movie I would recommend.
Okay.
This is The Hustle. This is not offensive. This is certainly a fun movie. It's very light. The lady who was sitting beside me with her boyfriend was probably late 50s or something. She was dancing to the music going on in the movie. It was certainly light, fun, poppy.
Okay.
And we've got two comedians that are very fun. And they go through their adventure. And Rebel Wilson and Anne Hathaway are just joyful to be around. This is a fun film. I would say probably 60 out of 100.
Okay.
And very worthy of your time if you're looking for something light and fun.
There you go. Something a little less light and a little less fun. You saw a documentary called In Search of Greatness.
You used the word less fun. Steve, this is a great film.
Okay.
In Search of Greatness is a very... I recommend this film. I would say probably 75 out of 100.
Okay.
So this is a film that basically takes some high-performing athletes and asks, what's the difference between a super high-performing athlete and athletes who are also competing on the highest level? So our interviews are on Jerry Rice, who played as a wide receiver for our people who don't know who this person is. He was, for our youth, he was a high-performing wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers during the Montana and Bill Walsh. Basically, he was winning Super Bowls.
Okay.
And he talks a little bit about his past and how he was not the fastest athlete, but he had football speed. And he had great hands, and how he was able to be plucked out of a smaller school. And Bill Walsh found him, and he became one of the greatest receivers of all time. We also are interviewing with Wayne Gretzky and Pele. Wayne Gretzky is the person I got the most information from. So Wayne Gretzky had brothers. If you don't know who Wayne Gretzky is, he is probably, if not the best, one of the greatest NHL players, hockey players of all time. And he talks a lot about why he was different than the other players. And through this, I got a number of insights. And one of the insights that I think makes the Americas a gift to the world is that we have more playtime, or we had more playtime.
Okay.
Unstructured play.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're playing on the basketball court or playing in a hockey game or going out and acting, doing improv or something like that, this ability to be unstructured and just have this time to play, to test stuff out. Will it work? Will it not work? It gives creativity, because you can take a whole bunch of athletes and you can put them through a regimented skill building camp. But they may not be able to perform on the level you need to get to the highest level.
Okay.
And I think that that's one of the critiques. You can look at your life, how we teach education, mm-hmm. how we work with our athletes when they're very young now. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're in sixth grade, and they're going to the local academy to learn how to play the sport, and they're specializing in the sport. And by the time they get to their 18th senior year, they're burnt out. They don't want to play the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Wayne Gretzky, one of the greatest hockey players ever, when hockey season was over, went and played baseball. And he goes, I was always playing a sport. He goes, but, you know, baseball time was baseball time and hockey time was hockey time. What I got from this also is he goes, we have the same parents. He was talking, Gretzky was talking about his growing up. I had the same parents as my brothers. We ate the same food. We were part of the you know, teams, just like you know, each other. He goes, but what made Gretzky better? You realize there's something different, something extra. And what I got from it was that he loved hockey. When he got home from the NHL games, he would sit down and watch all the other NHL games. He would take a piece of paper out, and he's following the puck with a pen on a piece of paper to see where it's more likely to go. And he said, I've been doing that since I was a kid. But he really studies the game in a different level. You know, Michael Jordan was talking, was mentioned in this. There's Tiger Woods clips in here. There's just something about these players that is just different from the other really good players. And this is an exploration of what makes them different and what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kind of re-explore this a little bit when we get to our book section, because it'll explore it from a different level. But I highly recommend that you see this film. And the other part is, I think the big takeaway is to not be so structured with all of your time that you lose your ability to be creative. You don't have to dedicate your life to something that you love. You need to find the thing that you love. So very, very highly recommended.
There you go. And you also watched a movie called Monogamish.
Monogamish. This is I saw this on Stars. You can see it through Amazon Prime too. Okay. This is a film that was a gentleman who was going through a divorce, and he had he basically started doing exploration. He started interviewing philosophers and sex therapists and people who had long marriages. And one of the things that he was exploring is, what is natural state of humanity, of man? How do we get through this Leave It to Beaver ideal that, you know, mom and dad and the two kids and this is how we run life, and how... how did that really work out historically? And he obviously, you don't know this, but he's an Italian prince.
Oh,
so what he uses is his family tree to kind of do this exploration. And what you're doing is you're going through a historical view of how we came to view what we think is a good family today, particularly in the West. And what you ultimately are going to learn, there's a lot of different ways to run a family. And, some of the ways that we came to agreement on this is how we do it, it has to do with property rights, that women, for much of history, were considered property.
Wow.
And because they were considered property, we had certain expectations for them, but that we did not have for the male. And basically over the last, say, 50 or 60 years, this nuclear family, this mom, dad, and how we've explored it, we've put those same types of shackles on men. And that's not saying that that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that that is maybe how we got to this, what we view as the ideal. I think this is an incredibly fascinating subject. One of the things I will tell you that if you consider humans animals, we are primates. And Steve, how many other primates are monogamous?
None. Chip.
That's right. There are none.
Yeah.
So how are humans different? Well, we have the ability to choose.
Right.
And what I think ultimately you should leave with this movie and this exploration, kind of either you have more you'd like to learn more about this type of subject, or you should be much more liberal on what family is,
mm-hmm.
Because what's right for you and how you choose to live your life may not be right for everyone else. And it really is a fascinating subject. I do recommend this. I would say 70 out of 100 too.
Okay. So a really great way to study family and the dynamic between people is to watch Game of Thrones.
Yes, and the finale was last Sunday.
Yes.
And all I can say is Denver Broncos.
It was a great game, the Atlanta Falcons and the Denver Broncos. We should really record stuff after Sunday.
Well, you know, I was going to say, what a great finale.
What an amazing story.
What an amazing run, Steve. Oh,
I can't believe that he did that. And she was there, and wow.
And how it ended was incredible.
I still haven't watched a minute of Game of Thrones.
Oh, you haven't? Well, I've watched them all, Steve.
Including on Sunday when you watched the finale.
That's right. And future Chip will be speaking from past Chip.
I'm sure we'll be talking about it on the internet, on the social media for the next couple of weeks. It was a good run.
It was a good run. Mm-hmm. There are a couple things I will say about this. Reddit, there is a running list of how they would rewrite this season.
Oh, yeah. All the change.org. Everybody wants to change everything. Well, how dare you write this story this way? This is the way we should have written it. Go write your own story.
Steve, if we could go back in time, we would probably rewrite The Phantom Menace.
Yes, but we can write our own stories instead of demanding that others do work. That's not how life works.
It is.
Change.org.
Misa, want to talk about Phantom Menace, Steve.
Very good. So I'm glad that you enjoyed that. Maybe there's some things that I'll actually get to see this week.
Steve, there seems like a whole group of really good films coming out. Let's talk a little bit about those.
Seems like maybe summer might be coming and the big summer blockbusters are hitting. The first one is called Brightburn. This is a James Gunn production starring Elizabeth Banks, and it's about a young man.
Well, Steve, who is James Gunn?
James Gunn is the guy who brought us the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, uh-huh. And this is not a Superman film, is it?
No, this has nothing to do with Superman. This is about a young boy who crash lands his spaceship in a Kansas town, and his parents adopt him, and he's got superpowers. This has nothing to do with Superman at all.
Not at all. In fact, this is not an imaginary story.
No.
No, no, no. This is a Superman story.
Uh-huh.
But this looks really, really good. And
dark.
It really... Yeah, it's a dark take on the Superman story,
uh-huh.
without being a Superman story.
Yeah.
This looks so much fun.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm all there, man.
I am looking forward to that one. Also, a lot of people are looking forward to the live-action remake of the cartoon Aladdin that's coming out this week.
Disney's Aladdin gets remade into a live version.
Uh-huh.
Steve, there we go. And it starred Will Smith.
Yes.
The Fresh Prince himself.
Yes.
But he was not a prince. He's a genie, Steve.
Right. He's the Fresh Genie.
He is the Fresh Genie.
I do look forward to this. I do love the music from Aladdin. I look forward to seeing the stage production more than this live-action production. All of the people on the internet have been saying this week that there's something missing. The magic of cartoon and what you can do leaves the live-action a little bit flat.
How would you know that unless you've seen the film?
And
that's what the deal is. They said,
yeah,
so we don't know that, but you know what?
The internet.
The internet knows all.
The internet knows.
The Google knows everything, Steve.
I do look forward to this one. You know that I am a big fan of Will Smith. I have every one of his albums. I love The Men in Black. I love everything that he's put out, with a few exceptions. This one, I have really high expectations that this one's going to be good. And the Broadway play is really good, really entertaining. I hope that this one holds up. Don't forget, Booksmart is being released on Friday. Chip went to see it last week because he's just that kind of guy.
I'm special, Steve.
He's special. He got to see a special preview of that last week. It's coming out this week, and he says it's good, and Rotten Tomatoes agrees with him, so you should go see that, and I'll try to get to it, too. There's a movie called Avengement. This is, like a soccer hooligan in a gang in London gets framed and goes to jail and then beats the heck out of a ton of people for the entire trailer.
There's a lot of violence in this. And lots of punching.
Just so much blood in this trailer.
So it's a story about going to prison and fighting your way in prison and getting an extra year, it sounds like. So there you go, Steve, if you want to see that.
Boy, you should maybe click on that trailer, but I don't know that I'm going to go see that one in the movie.
Steve, I've wanted to see something that would alter my mind.
Uh-huh. There is... Did you ever watch Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Okay. This movie reminds me of that. It's called Diamantino.
Well, it's not going to be... This does not look as heavy.
I don't know, man. If you look at this trailer, this is the story of a soccer player who has this otherworldly trip that he's going on in his mind while he's playing soccer.
Yes, this definitely sort of is a trippy type film.
Uh-huh.
And it's a reading film, Steve.
That's right. It is not in English, so you will have to read the words on the screen to understand what they're saying.
And it looks like it's really kind of out there. Think of like putting some incense on, maybe a lava lamp. And maybe going to Colorado to experience this. You never know.
Is that what this is? Is this Alice in Wonderland?
I'm speaking code, Steve. Okay. I'm winking.
Me too. Alice in Wonderland. Look it up. Good. That's going to be an interesting film, I'll tell you that much. Another interesting film coming out on Netflix this week is called Rim of the World. This is the story of four misfit teenagers who go to an adventure camp for the summer, you know, summer camp movie. And then the aliens invade and the world is destroyed except for them. And they have to find out the secret to solving the problem of the alien invasion.
Well, there you go. This looks pretty interesting.
It really does. It looks like Stranger Things. There's these four kids on bikes.
Sure.
And it looks like Independence Day. So I am definitely going to watch this one.
Certainly a tween type of sort of E.T. type of audience probably ready for this.
I would say that it is very similar in that tween storytelling. What could we do over the summer? Oh, let's have an alien invasion.
That's right. And Phineas and Ferb are not going to be in this, Steve. It. Why not?
That's it. That's exactly where we're headed. That's where I'm headed. I don't know about you.
Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You got a chance to read The Leadership Lessons of Greg Popovich. This is a case study from the San Antonio Spurs 5-time NBA championship winning head coach.
And there's no author really listed for this.
Because this is book. A study. This is a real group thing.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a whole sort of genre of these types of studies. It's about 40 pages long, certainly not incredibly long.
Okay.
But I read an article a few weeks ago about Greg Popovich on ESPN.com, and it talked a little bit about his approach to game management after the game. How about that?
Okay.
And why players really enjoy playing for the San Antonio Spurs. So if you don't know Greg Popovich, he is the head coach. He's been the head coach for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe more. Maybe more. So a long, long period of time. I think he may be the most senior NBA coach. Most organizations have had 2 to 3, if not more, coaches during this period of time. He has won 5 championships in 14 years. And he also, what you learn is that a lot of players, and this is what came from this article that I read, they are journeymen. So, you know, you have your stars, but you have journeymen come in and they fill roles. If somebody gets injured or, you know, you're the player for the year, most of them consider San Antonio their home base. As in, I've played for 12 organizations, but San Antonio, I made my friends.
Hmm.
San Antonio is the one that I felt most at home. And so Greg Popovich is a big part of that. He is known for his lavish dinners.
Okay.
So they typically, I think they fly in the morning. And so after a game, they may go to a restaurant and they may spend 2 to 3 hours drinking. Popovich is a big wine collector and he wants to show off his wines and teach you about wines. He also is kind of a foodie. And so the reason why players love playing for the Spurs so much is because they get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And going to spend time and talking and spending just, you know, once you've said, well, how, you know, tell me about your past and tell me, I'll tell you about my past and tell me about what's going on in the future and what you'd like to do and your hopes and dreams and all that. You know, you're already an expert in basketball. You, mm-hmm. you kind of explore a little bit of that. But what you end up doing is you're creating this anchor where you really are connecting with other people. And that may lead to deeper teamwork. Mm-hmm. And the hope is by reading this this sort of the story about his leadership style, is that you can take some of his strategies and work them into your life. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you'll have deeper relationships either with your children, with your colleagues at work, or any other part of mm-hmm. your life.
I think it's very important when I'm putting on a stage play, I think it's very important that the people involved know each other, that communication and that sure. community are vital to that team sport that is stage work and to basketball and baseball and football. Absolutely. If you don't communicate with each other, if you don't understand each other on some level other than the menial mechanical level of the thing that you're doing, you can't get to that next level.
Well, a lot of high schoolers go through, especially when they play sports, they have like pasta parties and things of that nature. And that's what the hope is, you know, this is the day before the game. It's Thursday night. We're all going over to the Fodor's house mm-hmm. and Steve and his wife have put together a ton of pasta and I bring meatballs and somebody brings sausages and somebody brings a salad and somebody brings some dessert. And all the kids kind of sit at a tables and they're spending additional time together, mm-hmm. time beyond what their practice is. And the idea is to create a deeper bond.
Yeah, that's
now,
it.
Popovich does a number of things to kind of create a deeper feeling for the people working with them. Now, when you're an NBA player, there may be only 12 players on a team or so. And a lot of this came from the front office. They wanted to create a decorum on how they would work together. And once again, this is an organization-wide initiative. It isn't just the one coach. Mm-hmm. So they all, when the players come, they're going to learn about a little bit about where you came from. So we had this, the movie that we reviewed earlier talked about creativity and going out there and just practicing and learning things a little bit differently on your own and somebody. Popovich is a little bit different. This is the counter to that.
Hmm.
Popovich and the Spurs were one of the few organizations that would go out there and they would find international players. And they would go to academies young in life and they'd get skills. So you're brought in there and you maybe can do it all, but we're bringing in because you're really good at defense mm-hmm. or you're really good at shooting or you're really good at something else. And what he wants is fundamentally sound people. But because they come from other parts of the world, one of the reasons why many other NBA franchises may not have recruited these players is because a number of things they thought. You know, NBA players from Europe are soft is one of the statements that has been said before. Or they since they don't speak English very well, they're hard to communicate with.
Yeah.
So what does Popovich do? Well, Popovich, he has two players that came from Serbia area. He learns Serbian,
mm-hmm.
and he's speaking to them in broken Serbian, and he's asking them questions. And he's it's not necessarily to be their best friend. You know, he's the coach, but he needs to be able to talk to them.
Relationships.
Absolutely.
It's all about relationships.
And when they go, the team travels during the summer and stuff like that to play promotional games and things. You know, they want to go visit the hometown. If they were, they'll go down to the Virgin Isle where Tim Duncan, who is one of the great players of the NBA history, was from. Well, why do they go there? Well, because they're going to experience a little bit of Tim. Let Tim show off where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you've got a fairly small organization. You've got to create those bonds. So there is a part to it where he's a very tough coach. And because he's earned the respect from the players in the sense that he knows them, he's learning about them, and he has genuine interest in them. He there was a player that he just was called, fat. Why did you lose this time? Because, John's fat. Yeah. And they went to the player and they said, hey, listen, is this appropriate for him? And basically the player said, he's earned the right to be able to criticize me. Hmm. We have a coaching relationship. We have a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. And he knows what I need to be. And I was brought in for a certain thing. And he's earned the right to criticize me on this deeper level. And you basically get down to, you know, the soul of everything. And the next year he shows up and he's the right weight mm-hmm. to play the position he needs to be. And, you know, that's where when you know an organization is putting resources and putting emphasis on and articulating what they need from you, that ability to communicate properly allows you to serve on that greater level. You know, I brought you in for a certain thing. I don't need you doing everything else. Mm-hmm. And one of the other parts about this is that even the best players on the team have their role. So he is more, among the NBA teams, he spreads the minutes out further than most franchises do.
Okay.
I think most franchises want to create the type of environment Popovich has created. And it certainly is a very fascinating study on how to take young people who, when I say ignorant, lack of knowledge of how to run life. They know basketball. Many of them haven't traveled very much. I mean, except for what basketball is allowed to do. Maybe they played college ball. And they got to go to some tournaments and stuff. Well, the NBA lifestyle is certainly a transient lifestyle for a long period of time. Games start, what, November? And they'll go, and, you know, before that, I mean, they're playing preseason, you know, in October or whatever they're playing. And they'll make, you know, the championship doesn't come for another month or so. I mean, we're talking about 9 months maybe out of a year.
That's a long season.
Absolutely. You're at your home base for a few games, and then you're off to the next city. So creating that anchor, creating that environment that allows these people to grow and become the men that they want to be is very important. Let me in one other part. There's a WNBA player who has an incredible basketball knowledge, and she wanted to be a coach. So he brought her in as an assistant coach. Ultimately, she got to run the NBA Development League team, the G League, San Antonio Spurs. She coached. She was the head coach. If there is going to be a female head coach in the NBA, most likely Popovich will have mentored her.
Hmm.
And she could be the next San Antonio Spurs coach. If he chooses to retire, he's had an incredible run at the Spurs. And while he certainly doesn't look like he's going to retire now, but I mean, my point is that he certainly has developed his staff to be leaders going to the future. And certainly this is a forward looking franchise. I ate this up.
Mm-hmm.
This is. I'm glad I know more about Popovich. And anyway, we all should kind of model our lives on many of the things that he's found. Plenty of things that bring him pleasure beyond what he works, what he's working at, and that's a good thing.
Lots of life lessons in this one. The idea of community and communication are things that I talk about all the time, and then the idea of perspective, being able to see from another perspective. That Serbian story about these players are coming over here, they have a different lifestyle than somebody in San Antonio.
Absolutely.
And learning who people are so that you can motivate them to achieve the goals that you have in mind. That's very powerful.
Well, you know, you got a whole group of people. Once again, they pull a lot of them from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them could be homesick. You know, and you could be really their only sort of lifeline for the area. So you've got to make sure that they are satisfied humans
mm-hmm.
to be able to perform with you on a different level too.
These are conversations that we have at the education level all the time. If this student is coming to class prepared for class, is he able to focus on what we're doing in class if he's got all these issues that are happening at home. We need to understand from a different perspective, and getting to know people, getting time with each other is vital.
Sure.
That is The Leadership Lessons of Greg Popovich. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive, Steve.
Yeah.
It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside.
That's right. You know how much I love Mr. Rogers. You know how I'm a big devotee in what Mr. Rogers was able to do. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is celebrating an amazing idea this week. It is the 143rd day of the year, so they are declaring it 143 day in honor of Mr. Rogers and declaring it a day of caring.
All right, so this is a day to be kind to other people,
mm-hmm.
and to find a way to be kind. What I love most about this is 143 was a very important number to Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
What does 143 mean, Steve?
Well, in Mr. Rogers' head, the numbers 143 were incredibly important because they are the number of letters in the phrase, I love you. He maintained his weight at 143 pounds for his entire adult life, and every time he stepped on the scale and it said 143, he felt that that was a message from a spiritual level of I love you.
Now, he's a Presbyterian minister,
mm-hmm.
and his I guess his charge was children's programming.
Right.
And he swam naked every day, Steve, just so you know.
That's how life was back then.
That's for Mr. Rogers. But 143 was very important to him. But I think that if you can go back to a person who's very genuine,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Rogers certainly was genuine. There are plenty of examples where he goes on Johnny Carson, and they're all ready to roast him,
yeah.
and they immediately flip.
Because he can't be tied to anything other than his genuine caring that he exuded.
And if you've never watched the PBS plea he made back in the early 70s,
mm-hmm.
where the person was like, why should we do this?
Yeah.
That was a congressman. And basically, at the end of it, he said, you just bought yourself to keep PBS alive.
Yeah.
So anyway, he is a very passionate, powerful person,
mm-hmm.
who had a very gentle nature to communicate with young people. But there are lessons on how to communicate with each other.
Uh-huh.
The governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has said this is 143 day.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and be kind to each other. I'll go ahead and say it. Too Much Scrolling has declared this just a worldwide phenomenon. Just go and be kind to everybody.
National,
you can do that every day.
International Be Kind Day, the 143rd day of the year. I love this. I endorse this plan completely. I've got my t-shirt that says Be Kind. I'll be wearing that on 143 day. I look forward to this one.
But Steve, that's not all we're celebrating this week. We have Memorial Day, but you know what happens on Saturday?
That's right. What I'm really excited about, and everybody knows because I've told everybody, Geek Pride Day is happening this Saturday, May 25th.
May 25th is Geek Pride Day.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is also Towel Day, Steve.
Right, it is the celebration of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So don't panic. Grab your towel, be a hoopy frood, and join us for Geek Pride Day.
But also, Terry Pratchett had something to do with this day also, Steve.
Yep.
What did he have to do with May 25th?
Terry Pratchett is a British author. He wrote a series of books called The Discworld. I really think that you should read all of those. But the one that you should read this week is called Night Watch. This is the story of a police officer who's sent back in time and becomes the mentor to himself as a young police officer. And all of the events that are in that book happen on the glorious 25th of May.
Well, you're going to read that the week afterwards, Steve, because if you're going to join us for our group read,
yes.
which we'll be discussing live at the Blue Box Cafe at 3 p.m. Central,
uh-huh.
That's going to be which book, Steve?
That, yeah, it is a witch book. You're right. It is Good Omens, The Nice and Accurate Prophecies of Agnes Nutter, Witch. This is
the story of, that's by Neil Gaiman,
mm-hmm.
and Terry Pratchett.
More Terry Pratchett than Neil Gaiman, in my opinion. Don't you agree?
I think there's a voice there that's Terry Pratchett, but, you know,
they work together. They work together very closely on creating this book in 1990.
And there is the angel and the fallen angel, Steve, and they seem to have a relationship. Uh-huh. We will discuss that more, and you're welcome to read that with us, and we'll have a dialogue during our live performance of next week's
show. We're calling this performance art now?
It is performance art, Steve. All right, and so we also want to say the last thing that we know about, beside being Geek Pride Day, is that George Lucas had something also.
That's right.
That was released on the 25th of May, a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away. On May 25th, 1977, Star Wars was released to theaters, so we are celebrating the 42nd anniversary of Star Wars this weekend.
Now, if you're going to join us on the 25th of May, Saturday, you can get there at 8 a.m., Steve.
That's when I'll be there. I'll probably be there at 7:30. We know me. I'll be there at least a half an hour before I say I'll be somewhere.
And Chris Mao will be there.
Yes.
And there'll be plenty of discussions.
And coffee. And sandwiches.
That's right. All sorts of stuff. And this is going to go on till 9 p.m.
I know. I scheduled a 13-hour party, and I'm so excited to have you all come and join me.
There are vendors that will be there.
Yep. We've got Freaky Fun Faces, who's doing face painting. There's Peg Accessories, who's selling tiny hats. I love the tiny hats. There's Socks and Souls. They have socks and a wonderful story about how they're going to donate socks to your local charity. Bede Streets is going to be there with all of his amazing artwork. I'm going to lose a lot of money on this. A lot more than I've already lost, by the way. Down in Front is going to join us. And
they're going to be performing, Steve.
They are performing at 1 o'clock. They're going to be riffing on the Mr. T PSA, Be Somebody or Be Somebody's Fool. That's going to be very fun at 1 o'clock.
Be good to your mother, Steve.
Be good to your mother. And Southgate Media Group is going to be there, and they're going to do a podcast as well.
What?
Yeah.
Well, we know it's going to be fun.
That's right. If you can't join us at the Blue Box Cafe in Elgin on Saturday, you should join us on YouTube. I'm going to YouTube like all of this if I can make it all happen. So you can go to our YouTube channel. We'll be obviously on Twitter and Instagram with all sorts of pictures and fun from this event. You should join us and know where your towel is.
Know where your towel. Never forget your towel, Steve.
That's right.
42.
That's right.
All right. So, Steve, this looks like a lot of fun. We're going to perform once again at 3 p.m. Central.
Yeah.
And my goodness, and you are going to be exhausted by that time.
I'm going to be full of joy and full of exhaustion by that point. But I look forward to seeing everybody. All of our friends are coming out to the Blue Box Cafe on Saturday for Geek Pride Day, and I'll just be smiling in the corner. I am going to have so much fun.
And we're also taking over the parking lot next door.
So yes, we are.
This seems to be growing, Steve.
Yes. All the vendors and all the things and all the prizes. I have a couch full of prizes. You can go to geekprideday.net to see all the details and the schedule and the prizes and everything.
And I'm going to be showing up as a big, tall, bald guy.
Around 3 o'clock?
Yes.
Maybe 2:50.
And Steve's going to be there as a big, tall guy, too.
And I'll be exhausted. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come out and join us on Saturday, May 25th. I think, Chip, we have enough information to survive until Saturday. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
Yeah, next week we will be here. We will be podcasting. It will be summer, and I will be a lot more relaxed and have a lot more to do. Maybe I'll watch a movie next week.
Maybe you will.
Maybe not. If you need more information, give us a call or text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenflow.
We'll see you on Saturday. The future.